Amen.
Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen. Nun bitten wir Bruder Frank.
Dankeschön. 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 Möge es in der Tat so sein.
May it be really so. That the Lord speaks with us and that His word becomes a revelation for us and that we indeed have the fear of God and the reverence before Him and then also for His word. Also today we welcome everybody, especially all those who are here today for the first time. God bless you. From near and far, we have heard that also brethren from the Czech Republic are here today for the first time, from Poland for the first time, from Slovakia for the first time, and from the neighboring countries for the first time they are here. We thank God for the time of grace which we have, for the privilege to hear His marvelous word which remains forever. We don't care about people and their doctrines. We also do not care about their churches and their practices. We only have one obligation, and this is toward God, to preach His word as it is written. I would like to remind you that in April we had a meeting in Prague which was very blessed, and yesterday, a week ago, also in Bratislava. I think for the first time we had so many people in the meeting who have come for the first time to hear God's word. It's a sign that we are still in the time of grace, that the Lord still calls. And we have the request to all of you: do not judge a service according to what you were used to, but believe with all your heart that God has His way with His people. And this not with a church or denomination, but with His church, which is His body. And by one Spirit we shall and must be baptized into one body. Then we would, from this place, would like to greet everybody all over the world, all who have greeted us and who have greeted the church. And this indeed goes from Nepal up to the farthest point in Africa, from Kenya, from Benin, Bukavu, from everywhere. The brethren are greeting us, and we also wish all, doesn't matter where it is, up to South America, especially our friends in Brazil, and then Argentina, and last but not least, our precious brothers and sisters in Chile. We are just joined with each one. May also all be blessed in Lima, in Peru, and everywhere where God's word is being heard. Also, this service is being listened to by many. We have an email here. Here writes a sister from Newfoundland in Canada. And in this email it says, "Brother Frank, I have heard that you many years ago, about 30 years ago, you were in my city. And since then I didn't hear anything. And now, through internet, I found out that I can listen to what is being preached there in Krefeld. People rejoice worldwide about that God's everlasting word is being proclaimed without any cutbacks. And I also would like to greet all the ministering brethren in a special way, Brother Gilbert from Paris, and all the brothers, Brother Kukaczka, and our brother from Bratislava. I would like to call each one by name, that they come to the front and that they give a testimony, that they share with us whatever is upon their hearts. On the other hand, the question arises, where do we start and where do we end? So, we just wish all the brethren God's richest blessing, who carry the same word and who receive it and who are passing on what God has given us by grace. And brothers and sisters, we of course are not here just to hold a service. We are indeed here to be informed about what God has promised and about what He is presently doing, to take it to heart, to believe the promises, to carry them in our hearts. And as sure as God watches over His word to fulfill it, so sure God will watch over us if we carry the promises of His word in us. And if we believe them, He will fulfill them in us. This we are sure of, that God remains faithful, even if we sometimes stagger or falter or would become unfaithful. God remains faithful. He will finish the work which He started. And maybe just for your information, when we read the Holy Scripture, especially the book of Revelation, and then getting shown there in symbols, in a picture language, that the dragon will stand before the woman who received the seed of the word, out of which the male child shall be born, who will first be raptured to then reign together with Christ. Revelation 12. Then we must understand that we are being led into this birth pains, into this labor. And it's also written in the scriptures, when a woman gives birth, then she has pain. Yes, tears are flowing. But after the birth has taken place, then of course the new life is being taken into the arms. One forgets all the pain, all the labor, and rejoices over the new life which has come forth. In the same way, we as the end time church must see it, that what all the others were spared of during all the centuries and since the Reformation, this comes upon us at the end of the time of grace. As sure as only the overcomers can have part in the first resurrection, in the changing and rapture, at the wedding supper, and then also in the millennium, so sure it is necessary that the Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word of God. And it is just as important that then all are hearing what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And I believe we all found out that at this place no men are being glorified, also not Paul and Peter, not Moses and not Elijah, also not Brother Branham, but the Lord, our God. To Him goes all the glory, all the praise, and He says, I will not give my glory to another. And all the earth is full of his glory. Brothers and sisters, in the same way we must say that we do not bypass what God spoke through Moses and what he gave us through Abraham by his grace to show how God rewards those who believe him, even everything seems to be against. And then not looking to the things which can be seen, but looking to him, to the invisible, as we would see him, just to believe, because God said it. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, maybe God does not fulfill all our wishes. This may be true, but all his promises, he does fulfill them. He fulfills them. One just needs to pay attention that one differentiates between one's own wishes and between the promises of God. And then all things will be well. What is also very important is that we live out what we are reading in the Word and what we are hearing in the preaching, so that the Word becomes flesh, as the Son of God was God manifested in the shape of a man, and who could say, the Father who has sent me is in me. I'm not doing these works, but the Father who sent me. That's how it was with all the prophets, with all the servants of God. It was the power of God, just as it was the Word which went through, which came through them, and the power which was manifest. When that song about the love of God was sung, only perfect love enters there. I had to straight away think about it. And the question is, what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say about the love of God, which was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit? A love which even loves the enemy, which does not impute anything, which is long-suffering, which accepts insults and everything. And then we are here, just as Brother Kupfer said it many times, we love and understand all, but not all love and understand us. God wants to make such people out of us who walk in his ways. Not only theoretically saying, I have received and accepted the Word, but who live it out practically and give proof of it. In 1 John chapter 3, in the Holy Scripture, the Word is brought nigh to us, and also the love of God. The love of God. Firstly, the Word which remains as a seed in us, and then the love which also abides in us. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 9. Whosoever is born of God or begotten of God does not commit sin. He might make a mistake, and he's sorry about it all the days of his life, but he cannot sin. He cannot question what God said. He cannot doubt what God promised. And here, we go back to that, what Brother Branham said. Sin is unbelief. Unbelief caused the transgression caused the fall, and the fall separated us from God already in the beginning. Does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. In brackets, in my Bible, it says, the germ of life. In every seed, there's of course a germ of life in it. He who looks at a grain of wheat, he does not see yet the germ of life. The germ of life is hidden somewhere deep on the inside. And only when the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, then the germ of life which was hidden in it comes up, and then the life is manifested. Of our Lord, it is written, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the same Lord says, I have come so that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Let us read on. For his seed remaineth constantly in him, not only on and off, but constantly in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. I said it here before. In the Greek text, the same word is used for begetting and giving birth. The same word. It is namely about the same seed which is placed by begetting and which comes forth by the birth. God has put everything in a wonderful order. In verse 10, here we have now the difference, how we recognize who is who. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. A strong word, a clear separation. And this brings us back to Matthew 13. The two sowers, the Son of Man sows the good seed, and the sons of God are the seed which came up. Matthew 13, 37, 38. And the parallel scriptures. And the enemy sowed his seed onto the same field while men were sleeping. And both came up. And both received the same rain and the same sun. Both came up the same field. And therefore it's written here, the one are the children of God, and the other one are the children of the devil. I don't know if one of us would have the courage to express it in such a clear way. But it all goes back to the beginning. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back to Cain. It goes back to Abel. And then it goes up to Judas and Jesus, Christ and Antichrist, up into the end time. Let us read on. In verse 10, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So, when it is written, let us fulfill all righteousness, also concerning baptism, then those who personally experienced the justification by faith in the complete work of redemption, they must make the next step, the step of baptism, to prove that they believe and to prove that they are obedient, that they not only speak in theory about faith and continue walking in their own ways. What did we hear in the word of introduction? It is a highway, a way of holiness. A fool cannot go astray on it if he only keeps the word of God alone. This is the secret. The wise men have their own doctrines. We are depending on God and His teachings, because it is written, they all will be taught by God. Of a Bible school, the master did say nothing. Of a preacher seminar, the master said nothing. He said, when the Holy Ghost will come, He will teach you. He will lead you into all the truth. He will show you the things to come. So, back to the Bible pattern, back to the biblical proclamation, and back to the Bible experiences as they were in the beginning. It continues here. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is the point. One does not need to preach a sermon on it at all. Why doing it? Why? One sentence is enough. Everyone who does not love his brother is not of God. He can preach about love. He can tell the people in the front. It reminds me on how it was in our home, how we as children, we were arguing and quarreling with one another. But in public, we were always one. And one can bring all kinds of examples. It does not help at all. The practice, the life, must agree with the words, and the words must be in line with the life. Everything else is self-deception, and this we don't need. So, whosoever does not love his brother is not of God. And then it continues in verse 11. For this is the message which ye heard from the beginning. Here we have even the term message, divine message, which was given by the Holy Spirit and which is being revealed. For this is the message which ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, not as Cain, who was a child of the devil. Before, all who do not love the brother are called the children of the devil. And then Cain is called a son of the devil.
Hier beschrieben oder genannt, der seinen Bruder erschlug.
Who slew his brother. And then it says here,
und seinen Bruder erschlug,
and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because all his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And what was it? Was it Abel, or was it the sacrifice which was revealed to him, that it was not the fruits of the field, as Cain was gathering them, putting them onto the altar, by which the fall was caused, but flesh and blood, and through the lamb which Abel took of the firstborn of the flock, sacrificing it, it was already foreshadowed by revelation that the Lamb of God would come to make the damage well again. Throughout the whole Old Testament, the lambs were offered in a special way, and then the atonement should take place in the presence of God. But through the Lamb of God and through the blood which was shed on the cross, through the blood of the new covenant, we are reconciled with God. And then the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham says it, with the lips you confess to love the brother and you are hugging him, but you have a knife in your hand and are stabbing him in his back. Yes, one can love. One can have love on the lips and the knife in the hand, to then, while hugging, stabbing the knife into the back. Thus it shall not be. Rather, just the holy kiss, not a big hugging and things, but true divine love, which can stand before God and man, because it was lived out in practice. It must become our life by grace. We cannot only speak about it. Yesterday evening, the marvelous word from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, was read to us. What concerns the ministry, what concerns the commission. And I just went through the Holy Scriptures, and I noted down all the Scriptures where the prophets were called, beginning with Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Elijah, to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and whoever they were, as there was an hour, a day in their life, a day of a direct divine calling and commission and sending. This all the prophets had. There was not one true prophet who stepped on the scene by himself. The false prophets, and this one can read, be it in the days of Elijah, be it in the days of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was prophesying, immediately there were a number of prophets there who prophesied by their own inspiration. In the days of Elijah, there were 400. They were not heathen. They all belonged to the people of Israel. It is not enough to belong to the people of God. There must come a word from God before we can pass it on. And therefore, time and again, the question, and then, of course, also the answer from the Holy Scripture. What has God promised for this time? And what is He doing? In 1 Timothy, chapter 1, we read 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. We have read it already one day. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It is still written, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. That's how it is written. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Thus it is written in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. And thus it is confirmed to us throughout all the book of Acts up to the fact, Acts 2 verse 42, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles. Acts 15, and the apostles and elders came together to speak about the question which arose, and then came the declaration, and to this agree the words of all the prophets. The church of the New Testament is indeed built upon the one foundation of the apostles and prophets. In the Old Testament, the promises, in the New, the fulfillment. It is just joined together in a harmony. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, in verse 15, we read of the admonition which Paul gave to his co-worker on his way. Not all can be prophets, not all can be apostles, but God also appoints other brothers, like Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt and myself. He appoints them to ministries and other brothers who have to do a service. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It must be a preaching which can stand before God and his judgment. And I tell you, as so often, the enemy always twisted the word. He added to it, and he has taken away from it. He changed the meaning. How often shall it be said here? In Genesis 2, at the end, the Lord God says, of all the trees in the garden you may eat. The enemy just adds one word into the sentence in Genesis 3, and he says, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree? Just one single word, the word not, he added. Eve believed it, Adam then also believed it, and already the first human beings were under the influence of Satan. It's just like that. Something terrible happened on earth in the moment when the first human beings believed what the enemy twisted by adding one word and handing it over to the first human beings. And behold, poison of the serpent was in it. Death, separation from God was in it. As it was from the first day, at the first time, so it will be up to the last time. To the word of God, nothing may be added and nothing may be taken from it. It just has to be believed in such a way as it is written. Yesterday evening I was informing you of what I watched on TV last Monday night at about a quarter past 10 up to a quarter past 11. in that big convention in Stuttgart, 10,000 people from 175 churches and denominations from all over Europe. And behold, John 17 is being read. And then they said, this is the day which the Lord has made. And then the ex-queen Fabiola is called from Brussels that she should pray the Lord's Prayer. And she was stuttering a bit, but she still managed somehow. And as she went away, he called her back and said, could you not also pray with us the Ave Maria? And then it started. Mary, Mother of God, and so forth. And all were rejoicing and jubilating. All were glad about the unity. And what kind of unity is this? Where is the Word of God? Where is the truth? Where are the Bible teachings? Where is Revelation? Brothers and sisters, we are indeed living in the time in which all people are being deceived who live on this earth. All whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from before the foundation of the world. That's how we indeed find it in Revelation 13. I'm just mentioning these things to show us how important the divine message is in our time, and to indeed anoint our eyes and to lay revelation into our hearts so that we recognize where the uniting takes place, the worldly uniting in which all religions, all denominations find their place, and where the uniting of God's people under one head takes place, and the head is Jesus Christ our Lord, walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. In Revelation 1, no cardinals, no bishops, no famous people, no, our Lord, our Redeemer is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And he had his messengers, his angels, to whom he could entrust his message. And they must bring the message of God. And only by this, clarity comes only by truth. And therefore John writes that the truth will remain in your midst forever. Whatever God reveals to us and what he laid into our hearts remains. It abides, as we have read, because his seed remains in us. This is just so important that we know the word is a seed. Now, Revelation 13, we read in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then the admonition, he who has an ear, let him hear. Who has today an ear? People are having ears which are itching. As written in 2 Timothy 4, today according to this doctrine, tomorrow after this doctrine, and all are running after various winds of doctrine. But it is written, Isaiah 2, The teaching will go forth from Mount Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So, back to the word of the Lord. But also in this, the scripture must be fulfilled, that all people drink of the cup and they are getting mad, losing their orientation. You can read it in Jeremiah 50 and 51. You can read it in Revelation, especially in chapter 17. When then on one hand it's written in Revelation 12 of the church, which is described as a woman. Why as a woman? Because the seed already naturally is being laid into the woman. And already in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we read of the seed which would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. God used natural examples to set forth the supernatural. So, in this way, we received the overall picture. Revelation 12, the woman who receives the seed and travailing in giving birth, and which is then taken up, not as a baby, as the male child, as the raptured church, which has grown up, becoming manly and strong. One must also take here the other scriptures to understand the prophetic language of the word and to leave one's own interpretations at home. But then we indeed are having in Revelation 17 the description of a complete different woman. She also received a seed, but not God's word. Strange seed, as it was sown in the course of church history and as it is manifested at the end of time. And the Antichrist is coming forth, and all the world is jubilating to him. All are looking for him, and all are asking advice from him. And then as a summary, it's written in Revelation 17, in the last verse, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Does Berlin reign over the kings of the earth? Does Paris reign over the kings of the earth? Does Washington reign over the kings of the earth? On this earth, there's only one world capital. It existed already in the year 30 BC, when the Roman Empire was here, lock, stock and barrel. And it exists until today, when the Holy Scripture says, it was and was not and will be again. Then we indeed are living in this time. And when the Lord would be here today, he would say, I have foretold you all things, that when it comes to fulfillment, that you see thereby that my return is at hand. And to once again come back to my Monday experience, on which I watched the second part of the May the 8th, I indeed was thinking on all the various directions within the message, how indeed people are making a doctrine out of the statements of Brother Branham, a new doctrine. I'm asking you today, in the presence of God, would it be even permissible to introduce a new doctrine? No, and again no. Here God said to us everything. Here is written the whole plan of salvation of our God. And every revelation which comes from God is within these two covers. Within these two covers, a revelation which goes beyond it cannot be of God and cannot lead back to God. But here's the point. Brother Branham preached the true word. Only what is made out of it? One takes the quotes out of context and then one makes a doctrine out of it, not even thinking about to go back to the Holy Scripture, but saying what one likes to say and teaching what one wishes to teach. So we are not against brothers. We love all the brothers. And we can, without having a knife in our hands, we can hug every brother. What we totally despise are all the teachings which are not in line with the Holy Scripture and which cannot be proved with the Word of God. I really hope you understand this and that you agree with it. What kind of sense should it have that Brother Branham emphasized in all seriousness that it was a single word in the Garden of Eden which was added to cause the fall, if he himself would have added? Forget it. Once and for all, forget it. He was a man sent from God with the revelation of the true word. The misunderstandings are not in the word and not in the sermons. The misunderstandings are in the heads of the people who bring forth own interpretations. That's how it was in the beginning, and that's how it shall be at the end. And when Brother Branham once in a while says something like of the pyramid or the zodiac, I read about the zodiac. Only one single time Brother Branham said God wrote three Bibles, one in the zodiac, one in the pyramid, and one as we are having it. I, of course, as a man, I know as a man, as a human being, what he meant. That God just wanted to show us something. And here we have again the difference. You all know it. I brought with me once again this old file here with more than 20 letters which I still have here of the correspondence with Brother Branham from 1958 up to 1965. I have it here. Did I need to misunderstand something? No. Why not? Because I have taken all the sermons back to the Word. And in the Word, I found the absolute and final certainty. When Brother Branham takes the Bible into his hand and says, "This is my absolute," then let it be so. Then we must, as I always say, we must do the following. He who is right in his heart understands all things rightly. He who reads about the pyramid, he reads about seven steps, and one can read much about it. And then comes the king's chamber, and then comes the capstone. The crowning, the capstone. These are all things which are written in books. When I, Brother Frank, indeed climbed up the pyramid, up to the top, also in 1982, when I was in Egypt, in Alexandria and different places, I just wanted to see it personally. What is actually so special about the pyramid? And I must say, such a troublesome way I never walked on this earth. Spiritually, I did walk already such a way, but naturally not. Really, one had to walk only bent forward like this, bent, and there were resting places on the left side and right side, and one walking and walking. I saw no seven steps. I saw no compartment between the end and the capstone. I just saw one single cast, as I would call it. And then, when one personally was there and looked at this thing, and just then hears the one single statement of Brother Branham, then of course it's enough when one just leaves it and it's satisfied. Must I then make a pyramid doctrine out of it? Must I then make a doctrine out of the zodiac? Come off it. But such statements are just taken out of context and they were misunderstood, and this shall be then the gospel. Come off it. My gospel, the everlasting gospel, is written in this book, in the Word of God. What I actually would wish is that all the people, especially the brethren who are leaders of the herds, if they would just read the serious sermons of Brother Branham, which affect our personal lives and which show us how it should be with us as individuals and as a church. Just reading from the sermon, The Church and Its Condition, from paragraph 90. That's the reason that all this snailing and fussing and backbiting and carrying on around in the church, that's what breaks up the church. So, all the arguing, all the slander, all the backbiting, this all destroys every church, every church. And we indeed must be very, very careful, to the utmost careful, that we bridle our tongue. That's what breaks up the church. That shows that the devil got into you, and that shows that the Holy Ghost left you. Just imagine, both happened in the moment where we are letting our tongue say what it likes, telling things about someone, what we heard somewhere, and then adding to it. And what is left? Splits, discords, quarrel. All this belongs to the old man. And we must put off the old man. We must be renewed on the deep inside of our spiritual life. It doesn't help at all when we read in Corinthians, second chapter, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. When we do not put off the old natural man and putting on the new man, which is created in the righteousness of God and holiness. That's how it is written in Ephesians 4. Now, I read on. It ought not to be so. That's what it's said for. Not to be smart, not to act cute, but to tell you where the trouble is.
Zeigen, wo die Schwierigkeiten liegen,
For someday I'm going to have to stand and give an answer for you. And the very reason, the way you do and the way you act, that shows what you are. If you just got an old temper that will fly off the handle just in a little bit and get out here and carrying on or criticize or vulgarity and stuff like that, that shows where it's coming from. Brothers and sisters, I cannot read much here. This we all can do in our homes. What does Brother Bram try to convey in the many sermons? What is God trying to show us today? That indeed a worthy bride is being called out. A bride filled with the love of God. And as God received us in Christ, so we may receive one another, accepting each other. We cannot change anything. Whatever happened. And through all the slander and backbiting, everything gets only worse. Let us become a people of priests who are entering into the Holy of Holies, who are here for one another. As Paul writes, that I'm ministering the gospel of God so that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Yes, this most probably only a few are reading, because they are busy to handle all kinds of things which do not bring a real salvation. Brother Branham says then here, that's what makes the dove take its flight. Just let somebody start a little something in the church, and the first thing, oh, is that so? Did he really do that? You don't mean so. Right then, the Holy Ghost flies away. He just can't stand that kind of spirit. As soon as that lamb nature leaves you, then the Holy Ghost is gone. Yes. First, the lamb's nature, and then the Holy Ghost. That's right. And that's what's the matter today. That's the reason the people are in the condition they are. Because they let the wrong spirit come into their heart and into their life. Now, that's the reason things are as they are. Yes, I don't believe that one needs to read more here. When Brother Branham speaks about the condition of the church, then I think on myself, and you think on yourself. One does not need to think about the other one at all, except in prayer. Except in prayer. And when the same Brother Branham says, only perfect love enters there, then we understand that all ministries, all gifts, all members in the church are serving each other, and that all things must be for edification. Paul writes, even do not destroy the work of God in a brother because of some food. Some are having too much time. They talk about certain foods and telling the people what they should eat and what they should not drink. The kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the same with certain days, which the one thinks to be important and the other one not. Let us just be embedded in love. And let us ask God that He helps us. That He really helps us. That the old nature does not break through anymore. We of course received the new in a vessel. And it's probably true, depending under which influence we are, it will always be a battle. The spirit against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And we should not only be armed against all the powers of darkness, which are in the air. This is right, yes. I wished we would have resisted every influence and would resist. But the powers of darkness, they of course do not remain in the air. They exercise their rule and their influence here on earth. And if we may once again recite, when the dragon, right at the end, just before the rapture takes place, just before the completion takes place, when he stands before the woman, then he will cause confusion, he will cause discord. He then wants to bring everything into a confusion. But let us remember, the confusion came at the building of the Tower of Babel. On the day of Pentecost, 16 different nationalities understood the one who spoke by the Spirit of God. And then the question was, are this not all people from Judea who are speaking here? How come that each one of us hears the things in his own language? So, there were people building a tower, and now they are again building one. To the outside, it looks like they speak one language. But when the convention is over, then they speak again 175 languages, just as they came together there. But the church of the living God comes from probably 1,000 languages. But when the Spirit of God speaks with us, then each one of us hears in his own language the words of our God. This is the big difference. And then, when the emphasis is on that we should be one, with whom? It's of course written, Father, you in me, and I in them, that we may be one. So, the divine unity, He the Lamb, we the lambs, He the sacrifice, we the redeemed through the sacrifice, He the shepherd, we the sheep of His pasture. Why did the Lord say unto Peter 3 times after His resurrection, feed my lambs, feed my sheep? The Lord is the good shepherd, but He needs the mouth. He uses the mouth of man to bring the word so that the flock can graze. And we are not living by bread alone, but by every word which proceeded from the mouth of God. Has not God promised to send a famine for His word? The time is here. God did send a hunger or a famine for His word. We at this place, and maybe it should be said here once again, because of all those who have been added in the course of the recent years, maybe it should be said once again. We indeed, from the very beginning, one could take here the 1st of January 1960 as a foundation onto which we can look back, where we not only heard and believed the message, but where I was even translating it in small home cells and where we received graciously the insight into the plan of salvation of our God. And thanks be to God, it never did go to our heads, but it always touched our hearts. Because God does not speak to our heads, God speaks to our hearts. The revelation, the faith is in our hearts. If you believe with your heart and confess with your lips, with the heart believing and with the mouth confessing, and this leads to salvation. But whether it belongs here or not, I want to say the following. We have, because we are now reminded on Pentecost, I did it yesterday. In May, we had Pentecost. Even the Monday is a public holiday. Even a national reminder on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I belong to those who, in the late 40s and beginning of the 50s, experienced personally outpourings of the Holy Spirit. I've said it here before, be it in Hamburg, in Bach Street, be it in Hamburg, in the Almsbüttler Street 30, be it in Kassel, be it in various cities. After the war, in our country, there were Russians and people from Poland always still left because of the war. And the prayer was a prayer. One really thought sometimes the ceiling would lift. That's how people were praying at the time. Sometimes 2-3 hours, and the Spirit of God fell. So we experienced it personally. We also experienced how throughout all the years the working of the Holy Spirit was indeed in our midst. And all who still witnessed the 70s, they can testify of it. I just would like to read two messages or two prophecies which we heard at that time. 116 of them were written in this file. All of us, we had a file at that time. And we indeed wrote down what the Lord spoke. And I brought with me one of the files. The other one I left in the office. This one I brought with me with a specific purpose. And I ask all to understand it rightly. Many things are being said. Many slanders are going on. I'm reading two. The first, from the 20th of April, 76. Behold, thus saith the Lord. Many have gone out and are saying what I did not say. But here at this place, I want to speak with you. And I have authorized my messenger, and you all must submit and receive what I say unto you. And if you will not do it, then you will walk on and will not be with me in glory. Behold, thus saith the Lord in your midst. Now comes something wonderful. 23rd of April, 76, the following. The bride is being prepared now in a wonderful glory. I clothed her. I brought her out from the darkest night. I was leading her to this place here, because also the word of the hour is fulfilled today here. My servant is filled with my spirit and my word. And also the sword of the spirit, he carries it. Now comes in this prophecy something very sad. America has not recognized that my hand was reaching out to her to bless it. Therefore, let her go. It might be a shock for all of us. And maybe someone says, Brother Frank, do you need to stand for such? No, I don't need it. After God, in more than 130 countries, confirmed that his unfailable word was preached, that the end time message in purity and truthfulness was preached, and that not one single point had ever to be corrected in all these 40 years. This is not my merit. This is the hand of the Almighty God who watches over it, that his word is preached and believed, and that the truth of the word makes everybody free from error. But, as we all know, the enemy is not happy with this. And as he vents his fury in the natural on Israel, the Old Testament covenant people, so it is also happening with us. The person who prophesied the most and who since 79 is no more here, did the following with her file. And I show it to you now. She cut out all the prophecies which she gave. And then, in all this prophecy book are only several slips of paper. Just several slips of paper are left here. Everywhere left here. Everything what she prophesied, just single pieces. Everything is left. Just several pieces. Here, one piece, here, one piece. Of all the pages of all these 116 prophecies, she cut out everything what came from her mouth and said only one sentence: this is not the work of God, and therefore I must destroy it. And you can all have a look into this. I'm not telling you stories. This is so. A true prophecy does not have to be cut out. There's no need of denying it. Why have all own prophecies been cut out? Why do I say this today and here? Because we are all waiting for the filling with the Holy Spirit. We are all waiting that the working, the supernatural working of God is manifested. But we are not waiting for that people are presenting their own thoughts. We are waiting that God speaks to his people by his word and by his spirit. And therefore, I ask all who maybe have no understanding that we sometimes hesitate and are not going into everything with full swing. We were in it with full swing. But now we want that God gives a working of the Holy Spirit in our midst, just as the preaching is done in clarity and truth and purity, of which nothing must be corrected or taken away. A true working of the Holy Spirit, from which no prophecy must be cut out and thrown away, but where really the thus says the Lord, is really here. We need nothing more, but only the word of God and the spirit of God and the working of God. For all who want to be baptized today, just briefly the words from the Holy Scripture. It is just the way of faith and obedience. And as our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew 28, verse 19, gave the commission that we should teach and baptize no more and no less, So he added in Mark 16:16 to the teaching and baptizing, he added believing to it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so we go from one commission to the next one. And then, of course, to Acts, chapter 2. Acts 2. And there we find the answer. The commission was given here, and it was carried out there. And this exactly according to the Great Commission. And I already said it here. In Israel, I said it more clearly at that time. I simply said, precious brother, according to your faith, or based upon your faith, I baptize you according to the Great Commission as carried out by the apostles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the commission, hear the carrying out, and the apostles did exactly what the Lord said. When there are now Pentecostals who just say the doctrine of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is of the devil, then one really has to say that they have another spirit. And I'm asking you here and today, did Peter speak by God's commission under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit? When he, in Acts 2, on the foundation day of the New Testament Church, was preaching the first sermon, the Holy Ghost fell and was leading into all truth, and he spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. By faith, receiving forgiveness, and as a confirmation, the baptism that we received and accepted forgiveness. Forgiveness is in the blood. The confirmation is by faith and baptism, because then obedience comes after believing. So, obedience of faith, back to the beginning, back to the Word of God. And then we are brought in line with God, forgetting everything what is behind us and stretching out for that what is in front of us. The Lord God bless us and be with us also today. His word shall not return void, teaching and whatever we received, overview, insight, everything. May it be given to us by grace, by God. Remember the word, he who does not love his brother, which type is he? So we love the brethren. And as John continues to write, all who are of the truth, they hear us. And as Paul writes, because they did not receive the love of the truth. At this place, we don't have to preach a prophet and his experiences. It never came into my mind to preach about that. That John the Baptist was eating locusts and wild honey. I enjoy a steak here and there, and it doesn't bug me what he ate. It's not my duty. He had a message. It is not about whether the man John was clothed with a camel skin and a leather girdle. It's not my preaching at all. My preaching is what he preached. I'm not preaching the messenger. I'm preaching the message. And this is the big difference. Most people within the message, so-called, they say, oh, he doesn't believe the message. I believe it more than all the others, but all the other stuff I don't believe. Have you understood all this? The Lord asked, have you understood all these things? If you can say amen, then may the Lord bless us with full understanding of his word and of his will by grace. Let him have his way with all of us. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Today we sing again, Just As I Am. As we are bowing our heads, let me ask, how many are ready to follow the Lord, to follow him in obedience to his word, who have dedicated their life to the Lord, or who want to dedicate it now, who believe in their hearts that on the cross of Calvary the holy blood was shed, and that God was in Christ reconciling the world with himself, who have also just understood that we can live only eternally if we have eternal life. And it is written, he who has the Son of God has eternal life. And he who does not have him does not have life. He is the true God and eternal life. As the heads are bowed and as we are under the working of the Holy Spirit, who likes to dedicate his life fully to God? Most surely there will be many. First, we will pray for all, and then for those who want to be baptized. Who wants to raise his hand, and who wants to be included in this prayer? The time is serious. The coming of the Lord is near. The message goes forth, and the last ones are being called out. How many want to rededicate their lives to the Lord? All. God bless. Let us sing it once again, Just As I Am. Beloved Lord, I believe with all who have raised their hands and hearts that whosoever comes to you will not be cast out. You receive them. You are accepting them. You are forgiving sins, and you do not remember trespasses anymore. You are saying, though your sin be red as crimson, it shall be whiter than the snow. We thank thee for Calvary, for the redemption by your blood. We thank thee for the justification, for the sanctification, for the renewing. We thank thee for the new covenant which has come into force, and for your wonderful revealed word, for the everlasting gospel. Bless, heal, deliver, heal today at this place.
Oh, hallelujah! Preiset den Herrn! Preiset den Herrn! Ruft ihm zu!
Halleluja! 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 Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung.
Praise, honor and glory be unto you.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Ihr habt geglaubt und habt empfangen.
You believed and you received.
Ihr habt geglaubt und habt empfangen.
You believed and you received. Because he that believeth, he receives.
Gelobt sei.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Faith has free access to the throne of God. Because the blood of the Lamb is on the mercy seat. And the blood speaks for us. It acquits us. We are free. Free.
Hallelujah. 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 Wollen wir in Zukunft nichts mehr anrühren?
Let us in future not touch anything, not taking things into our mouth which are past, what this or that one did one day. If you wish that your tongue is put into the service of the Lord, then be ready to consecrate your tongue to God, to place her at his disposal. No own way, no own will anymore. Have thine own way, O Lord. And now we ask all who want to be baptized that they come to the front. All who want to be baptized, please come to the front as we are singing a chorus. Oh, it is Jesus. Is there anyone else who wants to be baptized? Then please come to the front. Each one of you? You believe with all your heart? Please come here. Come a little bit here. We have preached the word. And you believed. And because you believed, therefore you are ready to be baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. God bless you and be with you. And he gave the promise, as said by John the Baptist in his sermon, he baptized with water. Also we are only baptizing with water. Also Brother Schmidt will baptize in water. He, our Lord, baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He fulfills our hearts with his Spirit. You are born again unto a living hope. You received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You received him. This is enough to be baptized. But this is only the beginning. This is just the beginning. Now starts the way of faith with the Lord. Tests will come upon you. The life of a believer is not bedded on roses. You will be misunderstood. Your way will be lonely. It will be narrow and steep. But the Lord promised to be with you. There are only few who are called. The multitudes are walking the broad way. Be thankful that the Lord called you and that you can make the covenant of a good conscience with God. That you can prove your faith by obedience and by believing as the scripture says. Now, Brother Rus.